Welcome to Christ Today. Today we have with us Pastor Alfredo Romero of the Rock of Life Fellowship Church, a wonderful church in Chico on Dominic Drive, which is just one block off of Skyway. It is a warm and loving church, so if anybody wants to check a church out, by all means go to Pastor Alfredo Romero's church, Rock of Life. Pastor Alfredo, well, let me ask God for him to be here with us as we speak and bless our broadcast. Heavenly Father, be with us. Let us be faithful to you and your word and speak to us, speak to the audience. In Jesus' name we pray and amen.
Amen.
Pastor Alfredo, welcome to Christ Today. I love your church and I'm so glad you're a guest on Christ Today.
Yeah, thank you. I really love it when you're there, too, and I'm just speaking with you. I can talk to you all day long. You're one of the guys I can talk to. We never run out of anything to say.
Well, when you're thinking of Jesus Christ, that just puts the zest of life into all of the things around us, and love.
Amen.
I do very much enjoy your church. The people in it are seeking God, and they're just lovely people, really, time after time. That's what I see.
Yeah.
Welcome to Christ Today, and how is the church world going these days?
Well, it's challenging, right? There's so many things going on. It depends on where you get your information from, basically. But if you ask our church attendees and us, things are going wonderful. We're still gathering in the house of the Lord. We're still doing all the things we're supposed to be safe and responsible. And if you watched an interview on the news a couple weeks ago, I kind of got blasted in the social media.
Oh!
But some people don't think we're doing well. But I know we are, so I'm okay.
Yes. Well, I know that everything I've seen has been faithful to God through Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So that means you're doing well.
Yeah, we are.
Many people are so attracted to the music and the singing in your church also.
Right.
So that's a wonderful part. I happen to like your preaching also, so there you go.
Yeah, we are a very musical church. We'll
yes.
preach the gospel any way we can, you know, through spoken word, through the word of God, obviously, and through the music. The music has to be true to God's word, and we're really careful and cautious about that. We really go through the lyrics. But, you know, I've been a musician since I was a kid. You know, I was a professional musician before, when I was younger, before I was a pastor, and come from a long line of musicians. My dad was a singer and a musician, and so, yeah, obviously God's gift to us has been music. So we just want to make sure that we use it in a way that honors him. So, yeah, it's contemporary music. You know, it's not maybe too contemporary for most, but it's a very on-the-word, honoring God, making sure that 100% of the glory goes to him when we sing.
And that's what we do. We honor God all through that. We have a church, we have a society that is seeking God in many ways, and many people are not.
No.
This little virus that we've had in our society has taken many people away from church.
Yeah. It's been a whirlwind trying to figure out exactly what truth is and really what's going on out there, and I think that's the only thing that really frustrates me. If you listen to as much news as possible, everything's so conflicting. We definitely know there's something going out there. My heart breaks for anybody that's gone through anything with the virus and losing loved ones and illness and sicknesses, there's no doubt that we have a God that's the healer, and we need to turn to Him and rely on Him. At the same time, you know, the struggle has been, this has been a time where people have turned away from God. And we were talking earlier, you know, what kind of God is this that allows these things to happen? And some people have turned away from church. Even people that would profess themselves to be Christians have actually walked away from the church in the last several months.
Is that away from church or is that away from God?
That I'd say both.
Both, wow.
Well, there was a statistic that came out. The pastors of Chico were talking about it not too long ago. And even in my denomination, that Barna came out and said that 43% of the people that actually went to church pre-COVID will not be returning to church.
That's almost half.
43%. Now, if you break down what that 43% means, some people won't be returning because of, you know, serious or legitimate health reasons.
Oh, yes.
They just prefer not to gather. And then there is another percentage of them that decided, you know, we're still Christians, we still love the Lord, but this just proves that you don't need a building. You can worship at home solely. Mm. And then there was another section of people that just said, I'm out. I used to go to church.
I
used to have faith. I used to believe, but I'm out. I just don't want to deal with it anymore. And back to what I said earlier, if this is what God does to the world, if this is who He is, if He allows this, my faith is gone. And then that begs the question, did you ever really have real faith at all?
How tragic. Yeah. I mean, we know that God is giving us free will. He's always given mankind free will.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this is a part of why God allows things. It's a part of the world we live in.
Yeah, we talked earlier. It's like, you know, we kind of made our own bed, and we're pretty much lying in it as far as we let sin in the world. We let the disease happen. It was our choice back in the garden.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that concerns me, and we were talking about this earlier. This is a time where people are either falling away from faith, and we just went through the book of Jude at church discussing what apostasy really is, and God laid out how people are falling away in the church. You know, some people creep in, it says, and they're grumblers, and they come in to cause division, and they really have kind of a false faith. And when times like this happen, you know, they'll easily fall away. Now, the ones that have real faith, where you rely on God, you trust God no matter what you see, you know, hopefully they're the ones that press in and trust Him no matter what. Like James says in the book of James, you know, that during trials and tribulations, we can still count it all joy. That even during the midst of all these wars and rumors of wars and the pandemics and the natural disasters and the man-made horrible disasters, still we can trust and rely on a sovereign God that is in control when the world is out of control. And that grows our faith. That helps us to press in and lean on Him. And that's what I would pray for. It breaks my heart every time I read some story on the internet about some pastor or some worship leader or some author that proclaimed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior for 20, 30 years, suddenly comes out and goes, nah, I'm out. I don't believe anymore. I'm done. That's heartbreaking.
Yes, it is. I really don't understand it. How can a person know Jesus Christ and then be attracted to the world? I don't understand it.
Well, we talked about how and especially if you read through Matthew, if you read through Jude, how God tells us things are going to happen. Mm. We shouldn't be Christians that say, you know, Lord, I don't get it. Why is this happening? Why is this going on? Why is the world going this way? Everything's so crazy right now. And God's basically telling us, you know, I told you there'd be days like this.
Oh, yeah.
I told you this was going to happen. Why are you so surprised? What I ask you to do is be prepared. What I ask you to do is look up. What I ask you to do is count it all joy through your various trials and tribulations. What I told you was that don't lose heart. For God has come to save the world. Christ has come to overcome all this pain and suffering that we may go through here. He is our hope. You know, He is the answer to all that ails the world. The decision is going to be whether or not the world's going to listen to Him or not. As individuals, you know, where do we put our trust? Whose report do we believe? Do we believe the report of man, or are we believing the report of Christ through His Word? And this is a time for Christians to rise up and not faint, but to take heart in Christ. it's disappointing and disheartening to hear somebody that professed the faith now say they're falling away. Yeah. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And I know it breaks God's heart, because we were talking earlier that God's desire is that not one person would perish.
Everyone
would come to repentance and the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Now, repentance, that's an important word. It's a key word, because that is what we're called on. The scriptures tell us, repent.
Yeah. Yeah, we are to look at our lives during this time, and we've been talking a lot about this at Rock of Life lately. Matter of fact, somebody came up to me that was visiting our church and said, you know, it was really nice to hear in church somebody talking about sin. And then he rattled off some of his disappointments where everything's supposed to be joyful and rosy, and what you end up with is an unprepared church.
Tell me a little about sin, because that is a subject that's so prevalent in society and the world.
Yeah. It's the roadblock between our relationship with Christ, is this unrepented sin.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that he came to take away the sin of the world, but that comes without repentance. Somebody came up to me the other day, actually it was at my men's group, and somebody said, we were talking about how do we share the gospel during these days, and do we share the full gospel? Are we saying, yes, God is love, but at the same time, can we explain to people what it means, what perish means? Can we explain to some people what the consequences are of turning away from the salvation that God offers, that free gift through grace? And can we explain that, the full gospel? Otherwise, they don't understand what the consequences are if you don't accept what Christ offers. Do they know what hell means? And what happens is we get so caught up in sin of selfishness and pride and what we want and what we think is important in this world. And sin is basically anything that displeases God, anything in our lives that hurts him, that's against his word. And how good are we at explaining sin to people?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would pray that I'm pretty good explaining sin to people, because sometimes I feel like Paul, where I could say, you know, at one point I could pretty much call myself the chief of sinners, and I can tell you my testimony and what I'd gone through and what was the roadblock between me and God and my relationship with him, and it was my sin, and it was unrepented sin. It wasn't the kind of sin where I would do something and instantly have this conviction by the Holy Spirit and say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, Lord, I know I hurt you on that. It was the kind of sin that I could go through my day, totally sin against the Word of God, totally break a commandment or two or three or four, and basically not even acknowledge it. This unacknowledged, unrepented sin where I didn't care because I was so selfish and ingrained in myself and what I was doing in life that I didn't even stop to think how I was hurting God and grieving the Holy Spirit. So I need to go to the Lord and say, God, and here's the thing that people are afraid of. Asking God to reveal to them what the sin is in their life. Some people are afraid of having God reveal that sin to them because it's convicting. And the devil swoops in to condemn you of it. And there's a big difference. But so, that's kind of my experience with sin and how we talk to our people, that sin must be addressed. Mm-hmm. So anyway, what we were talking about at the men's group was somebody said, well, how do I share the gospel? And I merely said, ABC. You have to explain what acceptance is, what belief is, and what confession is. You know, accept, believe, and confess. That's how I explain that salvation message to people.
Mm-hmm.
I accept Christ as Lord as my life. You know, I believe he died for me. I believe he rose again. I believe he sits at the right hand of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the word of God. I believe what it says. And I confess my sins and I repent of them. And I ask the Lord to forgive me. And I want to spend eternity with him because he just has shown me how much he loves me and how much he values me. And he doesn't want me to perish. He wants me with him forever. He's my Father. He wants that eternal relationship with me. And that's how I explain it.
Mm-hmm. When we feel his love, we want to love him back also.
Yeah, I love the Bible. The Bible verse that says, you know, we love him because he first loved us.
As you were speaking, I thought of the stripes that Jesus has taken. That is, he paid for our sins on the cross. And when we have when we realize that if we sin more, those are adding to the punishment that Christ has taken for us.
We were talking about the Passion of the Christ, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And actually talking about how it affected us, seeing what Christ did on his way to the, you know, to the crucifixion and on his way to Calvary, mm-hmm. and what he went through, the beatings, the torture, and how it made me personally feel is like, wow, it showed it so much visually. That's what Christ did for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That if he did that for me, how could I not want to live a life that honors him?
Yeah.
If he thinks I was worth that. I did a message not too long ago that that's one of my favorite messages. I preached a version of it a few years ago, and it's basically entitled, You're Worth More Than $87. And the basic gist of it was when I was a kid, my cousin walks up to me, who's now with the Lord. He died a few months ago. But my cousin came up to me and says, hey, you know how much you're worth? And I go, well, what are you talking about? And we were like 12 years old. And he says, you're worth $87. And I said, no. He goes, yeah, yeah. My teacher said that, you know, every person's worth $87. And I said, well, what do you mean? Well, you know, if you look at our physical, biological self, by the time you would draw blood or take out organs and you know, put a value on what your fleshly value was material-wise, you're worth $87. So I'm going, no, we're worth like more money in the, of all the world. Like my mom, my dad, they're worth more than anything.
And, yes.
And I'm explaining this.
Yeah.
So we went to my uncle, and my cousin walks up to his dad and says, hey, dad, you know, how much are we worth? My teacher says we're worth $87. And I said, no, we're worth all the money in the world. We're worth more than anything. And my uncle said, well, I see your point, both of you. There's this physical worth, and then there's this spiritual worth. And that's pretty much all he said. And I go play outside, basically. You know, and I get, don't bother me, kids. But later on in my life, when I was reading through, I'm reading through the Bible, and I was reading Mark and what the book of Mark and what Christ did for us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another scripture that says that we are a marvelous work, that each of us is a marvelous work. We are God's creation, that he knew us before we were in our mother's womb, that he knows every hair in our head, that we are so valuable to God that he gave his only begotten son so we would not perish but have everlasting life, so that we would confess and believe on him, that we would be saved. And that's our value. We're, in God's eyes, we were worth Christ, that he would come and die for our sins. That's how valuable God looks at every single individual person. You're so valuable to me, I sacrificed my son for you. And that's how valuable God looks at us. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That was one of my favorite messages.
There's a lot to take in when we recognize what our faith is and how great and valuable it is. Well, it's worth eternity for us too.
And
when we share our faith, what are the most important parts? You just said A, B, C.
Please. The most important part of our faith?
Of sharing it.
Oh, the sharing it? I you know, bluntly, the first thing that comes to my mind is my testimony. It's really difficult for me to tell people, accept, believe, confess, and this is what God has in store for you.
Yeah.
If they look at my life and go, why are you telling me this? Your life's a mess.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I see what you do. I see who you hang out. If I was down at the bar and I had different women and I'm, you know, drinking, smoking, and vices and addictions, and I'm talking the talk, but I'm not walking the walk, they were going to look at me. It doesn't matter what I say. They're going to look at how I live my life.
Yes.
And so a very important part of us explaining the gospel is also being a testimony to
others. Yes.
You know, showing people not just what God has done for me and how I talk, but in how I live. And a lot of that nowadays is how we've overcome trials and tribulations.
Yes.
You know, walking out our faith. Are we walking our faith out? You know, our faith without action, without that, it's dead to people. They don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Our faith must have action behind it. And just for me personally, you know, for most people, they know that my wife has had we've had a 16-year battle with a neurological disease that has robbed her of the sensation in her hands and her feet and robbed her of a lot of movement and the ability to care for herself. And 2 years ago, our house was lost in the Paradise Fire.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would just kind of give me a moment to recap just a couple of things about, you know, what the Lord has done for us.
Yeah.
But, you know, and 4 months before the fire, my dad had a major heart attack in front of me while we were talking in his room.
Ooh.
And passed away. And a month before that, our associate pastor, Rick Stout, passed away from heart disease on May the 6th. My dad passed June 4th. November 8th, we lost all of our houses, my sister, myself, my daughter, my niece, you know, 4 family homes were lost in Paradise, all while we were trying to build a church to move from the school that we were at to this building that we're in now. And all this was happening within a 6-month period. Now, I had 2 choices at that point, and so did many people in our congregation. We only have 2 choices in life, John, and I know you know this. Life is going to happen. Whether you're a believer or not, whether you have faith or not, life on this earth is going to happen, and all that entails. And the only 2 choices that every individual has is you can go through this life on earth with God or without Him. And I can tell you, it's way better with Him.
It sure is.
Because He's going to get me past this life on
yes.
to the next, eternity in heaven with Him, where all the things that we've gone through in this earth, although they're urgent and important to us now and part of our testimony, there will be a time when I won't even remember it. I won't even
yes.
care. All that pain and sorrow, all the tears will be wiped away, all that sorrow and anxiety will be wiped away. And so I look at that blessed hope and assurance of our salvation. That gets me through anything that we go now. And
yeah.
now I understand more why James says in chapter 1, count it all joy during various trials and tribulations, for it is a testing of our faith.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. What a test.
What a test.
What a test.
But we see it as we live and we see people who have gone through the tests and are satisfied, who are joyous, yeah. and that encourages our faith. Strengthens it.
It does. And you know, and it's not hard. I should say, it's not easy. It's not. Being a Christian is probably the hardest thing. It's very difficult. It's. I mean, people say bluntly, being a Christian is not for wimps. It's the devil throws everything at you.
Yeah.
He tries to throw off your testimony. He tries to drag you back to your past. He wants you in chains. He wants you in bondage. The devil wants nothing more than to keep telling you that, you know what, you're not worth it. You're that same person. Nothing's changed about you. You know, you might as well go back to your old ways because nobody cares about you. You know, you're not going to make a difference. And that's nothing but a lie from the pit of hell. God has a plan for you that's way better than anything I could possibly come up on my own. I couldn't come up with anything better than what God has planned for me. And that means going through the various trials and tribulations and the tough times, and having faith and trust and hope in Him that it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right somehow. That's what gets me and my wife up every morning and gets us through her pains and trials and tribulations and the things that she goes through physically. Because where else can we go to but to God? Where
yeah.
else are we going to go?
Yeah.
Who else is going to give us that comfort, peace, hope, trust?
Love.
Love.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't imagine going through life without God. And how do I know that?
Right.
Well, because for pretty much the first part of my life, that's what I did. I tried to make it on my own and not go through life with God. And I paid for it. The ramifications and the results of my own selfish choices, I paid dearly for it.
Yes.
You know, there's still things that I wish, and well, you know, I can't say I live in regret, but there are, I think what hurts me is I would have hoped that I could have gone through an earlier part of my life where I just didn't cause so much damage to people.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I hurt a lot of people.
Yeah.
And there are people now that would, even if they heard this radio program or they looked on Facebook and saw Pastor Alfredo, the first thing in their minds would be, no. No way. Him?
That's funny.
Do you know what he did? Do you know what he was like when I knew him?
Oh.
There's no way that guy should. Who's his credentials? where is he? No. Who let that guy in? I mean,
we're transformed.
I'm not that guy anymore.
Yes.
You know, yeah. I thank God that anything that was worthy, he kept. And he grew in me. Anything that was praiseworthy, anything that was honoring to him, I know God kept it and expanded it. And I pray that anything that would hurt him and grieve the Holy Spirit, anything that would cause pain mm-hmm. and hurt to others, that would be washed away. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did. I'm a new creation. I'm restored.
Yes.
I'm not that person anymore. And that doesn't mean I don't struggle with things. The enemy would love to drag me back into my past and throws things at me to tempt me. But God gives me a way out. And if I fell, if I stumble, I've surrounded myself with good brothers mm-hmm. and a good family in my church, a good church family that can help me. I mean, church should be messy. We're all broken.
Yes.
All of us.
Yes.
And we all need help. We all need daily fellowship with God, mm-hmm. a daily focus on Christ to get us through. And my prayer is always, you know what, God, today I want to be better than I was yesterday. Mm-hmm. Help me through today, God. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow I want to be better than I was today. That's how I go through life.
Those little things that we have in our past that we have regrets over, they do allow us to see other people and have compassion, though.
Yeah, my past experiences give me a wisdom.
Wisdom, true.
It enables me to minister, counsel others.
Yeah.
That I can help them avoid maybe what I did. Explain to them the damage that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
It helps me get people through some of the pain and regret of some past decisions because I can relate to things. And that's actually a big part of our ministry. And I'm a pretty open book when I'm up there preaching. I will tend to use myself as an example, you know, more than anybody else. I don't look at somebody in the congregation, yeah, you know what Bob was like, right? Hey, Bob, stand up. Let me talk to you about it. See, what Bob used to do is, I don't do that. I mean, I will stand up there and use myself. I will say, you know what? This is what I struggled with.
Yeah.
This is how God's changed me. This is what happened when I went, you know, facing the carpet saying, God, I don't want to be like this anymore.
Yes.
And I remember the day I did that. I walked up. I was in a church conference. I walked up, planted my face in the carpet and says, God, I'm done trying mm-hmm. to lead this life on my own. I can't do it anymore. Please take control because I'm just messing everything up. So.
When we live this transformed life, and that's what it is to be a Christian,
yeah.
is to live that transformed life.
Yeah, and especially nowadays, because you and I were talking earlier that, you know, people are looking around at what's happening today in our culture and in our, you know, city, state, nation, world, and they're looking for answers. There are people actually that are coming into our church that haven't been in church for years. And some people that really haven't ever been to church at all. There are people out there that are looking at what's going on during these times, and some are saying, I'm out, I'm done. A lot of them, thank God, are actually saying, wow, what's happening here? People have told me about God. I think I remember somebody telling me about things that might be happening in the world. I think I'll go back to church and find out what's happening. So we are getting a lot of people that are looking for answers, and I love that. We need to be prepared for that.
Yes.
You know, gently explaining to people the reason for our faith. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I want to do that. I want to be prepared. I want to be ready to explain the gospel, the whole gospel, the full gospel to people.
Yeah.
I want to be prepared, and I want my leaders to be prepared to do that.
The whole gospel, yes.
The whole gospel. Now, you know, the reason why I say that, let me kind of quantify that in some ways. I would just speak for myself and say I get a little disappointed by some well-known pastors that preach a message of, you know, love, 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 love. Every day can be your best life. Every day can be just joy and wonderful happiness. But what you end up with is an unprepared church.
Yes.
And you're setting them up for disappointment. When something happens in life, they're not prepared. There's reasons why God says, come to me, all those who are heavy burdened, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's reasons why God says, you know, there will be struggles, trials, but take heart, for I've overcome the world. There's reasons why God says you will face various trials and tribulations, but you can count it all joy, the testing of your faith. There's reasons why God says all these things that he talks about the whole gospel. Mm-hmm. And there's reasons why God says we are to trust in him, rely on him, have faith in him, know that he's sovereign, know that he's in control. Because when the whole world is out of control, the only thing that's going to give us peace is God's word, God's love, our relationship with Christ. So when people are wondering what is going on in this world, where else can we go but to the word and Jesus? Jesus the word. And that's what we need to be ready to explain to people.
I do look at the world and I see so many things going on.
Yeah.
It's different, though, here in the United States, because we still have so many blessings and so many wonderful things just because of what we have built up as a system. It's wonderful, but still with troubles.
Yeah, for all the faults that we have, I mean, I think people don't recognize that we're still a very young nation.
Yes.
You know, we're still only a couple hundred plus years old. When you look at some other nations that have been around for 1,000 plus or more, we're still a young nation. And
yeah.
We go through growing pains, and there's been some horrible things that we've gone through in the nation, some horrible things that we've done that we shouldn't have done, and there's horrible things that we need to correct. But what I'm saying is we were still a nation that was built on the Word of God. We're still had founding fathers and men, women that started this nation, if you even go back in real history. And who actually founded this were people seeking a free, they were fleeing England for religious freedom.
Yeah.
And so we do have, we had a great foundation. Unfortunately, man corrupts it. Not God, man blows it. Man made the wrong decisions. And it's up to us as Christians to address all this and keep correcting, keep further seeking God's will for not just our life, but for the lives of our communities and our nation. And we will not be able to correct anything without the Word of God.
That's a really hopeful message, really. And when you think of all the trials that we are going through today with people or authorities that have one message or another, whether they conflict or they don't, it does conflict with freedom.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yes.
You want troubles in the school? Stop praying. You know, you throw God out of school. That if you want troubles in your school, you want troubles in your society, in your legal system, throw out the Ten Commandments. You know, if you want troubles in your society, stop showing others the love of God. You know, stop being, if you want troubles, and that's what we're seeing a church that needs to start pressing in even more into our society, even more into our personal life. Show people the love of Christ, the realness of God, who is, who's been real always, who's always been relevant. God is asking for a daily active relationship with each one of us. And we as individuals are granted a lot of power by God, his power, his glory, to go out, proclaim the gospel and tell people the truth. And that's what we need right now. The answer to all of our woes, one word, Jesus.
No one worries. Thing that I notice is praying. When we are a praying people, and yes, God answers prayers according to his will and his purpose, so when we pray, we get a response. But I've seen praying churches have such amazing, just call it results or something.
Results,
they have things
godly
happen.
Godly results,
godly results. Thank you.
Yeah. We are a praying church. That God says our house should be a house of prayer. And so I'll tell you a real quick story. There was a young person that was across the street at a business from our church. It was a tire place, actually. And she looked across the street and saw our church, saw the cross, and felt like God was calling her to go inside.
Oh.
She showed up on a Sunday, and it was happened to be the Sunday that we were having a prayer service. Several months ago, I'd say pre-COVID, several months ago we were having a prayer service. And so she came that night and basically said, I felt this pull, this call from God to go in and get prayed for. If we don't offer prayer for people, if we don't show us to be a praying people, if we don't show our communities that we're a, that we believe in the power of prayer, then we won't see lives change. We'll miss something that God has called us to do that's very important for ourselves, yes, but for others as well. And this isn't the first person I've seen come into church or develop their relationship with Christ because we were praying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, yeah.
And I like to remember that it is a praying church.
Yes.
Yes, we have individual prayer, but when the body is united in prayer, it is awesome.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, God says consistently, when two or more are gathered, there I am, you know, with them in the midst. And I like that, you know, because the thing about it, and we were talking about it earlier again, we had a great conversation before the radio interview, but we were talking about there's so many people that are in need right now. There's a lot of people.
Oh, yes.
You know,
yes.
People have anxieties going on, mm-hmm. and depression and worry and doubt, and they're sick mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. There's so many people that are in need. And if we aren't out there showing them the truth of how much God loves them.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I was talking with, I keep mentioning my men's group because I love our men's group. But we were talking about how there's no requirements to go to the cross. There's no requirements to go before mm-hmm. Jesus. Mm-hmm. Come as you are. Come to me like little children full of faith and expectation. Come to me. You know, there's no cleaning up before you go to Jesus. Come as you are.
Yes.
And then watch what happens in your life once you start yes. that relationship with Jesus. But I'll tell you a real quick story.
Mm-hmm.
Several years ago, I was in a church, and I was leading worship. I was a worship leader for a while. And after a while, we had given a message, and there was an altar call, and this young girl came up. She's about 16,
mm-hmm.
and she had been a foster child, in and out of foster child. You know, just poor thing, just lived a really tough life, hadn't really been shown a lot of love by people. She'd made some wrong decisions, you know, going out with a guy that really wasn't mm-hmm. In her best interest, taking advantage of her, etc. And she was really searching mm-hmm. for real love. Real love.
Mm.
So we gave this message. And she came up when we said, if anybody out there wants to experience real love,
aww.
Come on up.
Yeah.
Come on up. And we will introduce you to Jesus. You know, we'll hopefully, you know, your heart will be changed. Because it's always a condition of the heart.
Yeah.
She came up. You know, we led her through this salvation prayer. She was emotional. You could tell that her heart had been changed. And with all the, here's where the story turns a bit. But with all the well-meaning, this woman, an older woman in the church, had come up who knew her a bit of her past. And upon her acceptance of this relationship, the beginning with Christ, walked up to this young woman and said, okay, now you need to break up with your boyfriend. Now you got to stop smoking, drinking, and go home and stop listening to that music. Throw away those posters off your wall. And yet, so suddenly, this relationship with Christ,
oh.
to her, it was interpreted as being, now you got to clean up. So that always, it kind of bothered me. I kind of intervened in a sense, and I said, okay, wait, slow down. Listen, this is important for anybody to listen to. This is important. Take out your highlighters or whatever.
Yes.
Listen, here's the way it works. Slow down. Get to know who Christ is. Because the more you get to know who Jesus is, the more you get to know who you are. And things will be revealed to you in Christ's time. Change will happen. Lives will be changed. Just get to know Jesus. And take it slow. It's a daily walk. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Yeah.
Take your time. Christ will reveal who you truly are in his eyes. And that's it. I love that.
Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, what a great experience to have to be right there and see it.
And that's what's happening to people right now. People are looking for real love. Yeah, there's a lot of misinterpretation of what love is in this world right now.
Oh, isn't that true?
And the only real love you're ever going to experience is the love of God. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son.
Yes.
So anybody who would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life.
By his stripes we are healed.
You got it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, let's just start there.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
So that's what we've been focused on in our church, you know, lately is, yes, we're covering the bases as far as how to handle what this world's throwing at us.
Yeah.
And how we as a church are to be prepared. At the same time, we're not forgetting people that are walking in that are looking for real love.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday mornings mm-hmm. is a balanced introduction to Christ for people that are searching, and it's enough meat and enough depth for those Christians that are somewhat established in their relationship with Christ to continue growing, to continue their battles daily, mm-hmm. to continue mm-hmm. this experience of the Holy Spirit every day in their life, leading them and guiding them. And hopefully we pray that people get involved. It's not mm-hmm. just Sunday. I say this all the time. I don't want people walking out of church on a Sunday, turning around, giving the building a wave and say, "See you next week, God." You know, I'm going back to the world now. I'll see you next week.
Yeah.
This is no. God wants Sunday mornings to be a springboard to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then back again on fellowship on Sunday. It's a springboard to what our week's going to be. It's part of the foundation.
Yeah. Yeah, and Bible reading, too. That's an important part. I see you shaking your head.
No. I'm saying
shaking your head. Yes.
I'm shaking like, you know,
right.
People don't understand the power of the Word of God. And I'm shaking my head in the sense, I forget we're on radio. I'm kind of doing this sideways and up and down nod.
Oh.
Because it's disheartening that even for Christians that are not pouring in the Word the way they should be. I mean, I'm going to speak real blunt because I'm a pretty blunt speaker. When I have people walk up to me and they say, "I just want more."
Oh.
You know, Sunday mornings will come up. You know, Pastor, we just want more. And we just want more, God, more. I'm looking for more in that word. And I say, "Well, what's your definition of more?" Huh. And they'll say, "Well, I just want a deeper experience of the Holy Spirit." And they'll sometimes suggest what I should be doing to provide them more.
That's funny.
And my first question is, I pretty much know our people, and I love every one of them. But I will challenge them. I say, "Okay, how many Bible studies are you attending every week? You know, how many times do you open up the Bible every day and read God's Word? Do you do a devotion? Is the first thing on your mind when you wake up in the morning is, 'Okay, God, you and me, you get the first part of my day.' Tithing just isn't money. It's also waking up in the morning giving God the first part of your day.
Yeah.
And when you wake up in the morning, you say, 'God, before I start my day,
yeah,
I dedicate it to you. It's you and me, God. I know you never leave me. I know you never forsake me. And I know that no matter what the world throws at me today, God, you got my back. Let's go.' And it's going to start with opening up the Word of God." And I shake my head in the sense that we need as a church to realize that if we're not in that Word of God on a daily basis, we are ill-prepared for what the world can throw at us that day. I can't tell you how many times I've opened up the Word, read something, and something happened in my day where I could draw that exact same word that I drew out that morning, and it helped me get through an instant or a situation or an issue that happened that day. And there's been plenty of days where I ran out of the house without reading the word that something happened, and I was ill-prepared because the word says that when you hide the word in your heart, the Holy Spirit will bring it to remembrance to you, so when you need it, it's there.
Yeah.
And that doesn't get there unless you're in it, you're reading it, you're dwelling in the Word of God on a daily basis. And one more thing real quick.
Yeah.
You don't have to read 2, 3, 4, 5 chapters. Read a sentence.
Yeah.
Read something. Meditate on it. Don't go for quantity. Go for that quality, that one word that God may speak to you. I've given lots of sermons just on a word in the Bible. A word.
Oh, I'm right with you on that one. And I have to tell you a little about my experience in reading the Bible, because I used to have all sorts of things come up so that I just didn't have time to read it. Something was happening.
Yeah.
But I found out that the way that I dealt with it is no Bible, no breakfast. And so every morning I would read at least one verse, and sometimes a chapter and sometimes two. But that was the only way that I could actually do it on that regular basis. It was a great idea.
I like that. No Bible, no breakfast.
Right.
If you don't take your spiritual food first, why should you have your physical food? I do like that. My problem is that I frequently leave the house without eating breakfast. I'm not a big breakfast person.
Well.
But I should be. But you're right. It's spiritual food. And if I'm not prepared for battle, it's because I'm not prepared in the Word of God.
It is battle. It is, and this is what we face all through life. It is a spiritual battle, and we are strengthened by the word of the Scripture.
Yeah, absolutely. Sword of the Spirit is the Word of God.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's the offensive weapon that I use. And if I don't have my sword, if I don't have that Word of God, I'm not prepared for what the devil throws at me on a daily basis. And there's so many people right now, and I mean, including me, we've got to be ingrained in the Word of God right now. The authentic, true, absolute Word of God, non-compromised, non-watered down, not sprinkled or weighed one way or the other. The full, absolute, holy, total belief and truly Word of God is what we need in our lives on a daily basis. So I do get frustrated, back to what we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
I do get frustrated with some preachers that preach an imbalanced Word of God.
And tell me.
Well, you know, the problem that I'm having is an ill-prepared church. One of the biggest things I've experienced in my life was seeing a certain time. I don't mean this in a disparaging way. I truly don't. Mm-hmm. But when we have the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody.
Yeah.
And all we preach about is the absolute everything that's going to happen when you give your life to Christ. You'll have more health. You'll have more money. You'll have more joy in everything. And you don't prepare them for the spiritual battle that being a Christian is. Then what you end up with is a lot of defeated Christians that ask the question, God, I thought you had my back. I did this, 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 and this, and this still happened. For example, I always use myself as an example.
Yeah.
We had started a church. We've been going for 3 or 4 years, and I've been a worship leader for 20 years. I rededicated my life 26 years ago, and it has been amazing to see what God's done in my life. It has been amazing to see the blessings that have been poured out on us. Mm-hmm. I have two wonderful daughters. In the last 2.5 years, they've each had children. I now have a grandchildren. They married wonderful men that love the Lord. I have a wonderful mom. My dad, before he passed away, had a great relationship with him. I have better friends now than I've ever had before. I have a church community that I rely on, that I love, and I invest in because I love them, and I'm called to do that. Now, I attribute that to the blessings of God.
Mm-hmm.
All things good come from the Lord.
Yes.
Now, had I not been prepared spiritually with what the Word also says about our battles and our trials and our tribulations and the testing of our faith, if I hadn't read through books like Job or the book of James, or if I hadn't read through even in examples of Proverbs and Psalms that talks about how we're refined by fire, how there are things in our life that will test us.
Mm-hmm.
If I hadn't been prepared, then in the last 26 years with all the wonderful blessings I just described, had I not been prepared with what the Bible says, I would have lost it when my wife got sick. I would have lost it when my dad died in front of me. I would have lost it when our houses burned down and I lost every single possession that I had. Years and years of family videos and pictures and priceless mementos and wedding rings and jewelry and all my instruments, all my dad's music, every recording we've ever done.
Mm.
I mean, I could have completely lost it. You know, when I get a phone call saying that my cousin in April passed away from a massive heart attack, and he was only in his 50s. Mm-hmm. And see, I have to be prepared for the trials and the tribulations. And if we don't prepare people to trust and rely on God when you lose a child, or when something tragic happens, or financial tough times, or physical tough times, then I'm not going to be a very good testimony to people.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's through all that I can still stand up and say, but isn't God good? But don't we serve an awesome, amazing God that no matter what happens in this life, in this world, that God gives me the strength and the resources to make it through, to still count it all joy.
Yes.
To focus, like Philippians says, to focus on the good, the lovely, the things that are of a good report, the things that are praiseworthy.
Oh.
Meditate on those things. Because if I set my mind on all the trials and tribulations, I'll lose it.
Yes.
But when I put my faith in God, I don't lose, I gain. So.
That's a wonderful word.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, and, you know, That's how amazing. That's the amazing God we serve.
Yeah. And so that's a part of our testimony. It's our witness. So we know the Word of God, and we have our own personal witness that we explain to people.
Yeah.
That's what it is to be a Christian.
Yeah, it really is hope.
Oh yeah.
This life. And I gave an analogy, and my associate pastor, Pastor Tommy, gave another analogy with the same type of example, where I said, we can't get too wrapped up in this world because this world is nothing. The time on this earth is nothing but a period at the end of a sentence in a book with never-ending pages.
I've never heard that. That's good.
Never-ending pages. Turn the page for eternity. And time on this earth was nothing but a period at the end of a sentence. And our associate pastor, Pastor Tommy, said, you know, you can tie a rope in a knot, or tie a knot inside of a rope. Just tighten it up. And then you keep, like a tug of war, you pull this rope, you pull this rope, you pull this rope. And the rope never ends. And time on this earth was just a knot in this rope. It'll give us a little bump. But when we rely on our faith in Christ, and the eternity that he has before us and prepared for us.
It's God's perspective, and we get to understand. Well, he gives us understanding when we ask for it, and then it enables us to deal with this life and people around us.
I want people to come to church.
Of course.
You know, I wrote out this. I mean, I'm not going to pull punches. You know? I went on the news and said our church was going to be open, and and people, you know, some people supported me. Some people said, "Oh, he's only in it for the money." It's a defiance.
Funny.
It wasn't defiance. It was obeying God's commandment that it's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Yes.
So here's the thing. So I wrote out this thing about why the church is essential, and the church is essential for many, many reasons. We as pastors, we can go to people and say, the ones that don't believe, the unbelievers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I can go up to these people and say, listen, the reason why churches are essential is because God says, and then I can rattle off 10, 15 scriptures.
Yeah.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Do not forsake the assembly of people when two or more are gathered. My house should be called the house of prayer. You know, we should dwell in the temple of the Most High. Okay, great.
Yes.
I can rattle those off. But to an unbelieving world that doesn't care, they don't care about the Bible scriptures that I quote. They really don't. And that's unfortunate, but that's just the truth. I've already done this argument with some people or presentation.
Oh, yeah.
Where I've quoted scriptures, they frankly look at me and go, I don't care. So what's my approach? How am I going to convince an unbelieving world that the church is essential? Well, they don't agree with the spiritual part.
Uh-huh.
So let me explain the physical, the mental, and the emotional.
Oh.
When there's a disaster in this world, when there's pandemics, when there's tribulations, when there's tsunamis and hurricanes and storms and tornadoes, when there's a man-made disaster and terrorism, when there's some type of an attack, it is the body of Christ. It is the church. The servants are in the front lines. They're out there with medical supplies and counseling and tents, and they're out there with water bottles and food, and they're out there proclaiming hope and giving encouragement. Helping people with mental anguish and depression and anxieties. We build tents in with hospitals and parks.
Yes.
We're out there in the front lines. We're flying people into Mexico to build houses. We're going to the Christian doctors. They're there providing medical services. So you may not agree with us of our spiritual approach to being servants, but I really pray and hope that you see the physical, the mental, and the emotional support that the church does. We are a people in action. We are servants. So even though you don't agree with us spiritually, with faith, I hope you see that we're essential because we're on the front lines of this. And when you shut down churches, you're shutting down not just that spiritual aspect that you don't agree with, but you're basically harming yourselves because you're also stopping people that are dealing with the physical, the emotional, and the mental damage from things such as COVID.
Yes.
Suicides are on the rise. Depression is on the rise. Alcoholism, 400%. If you look at Barna and Pew Research and other research centers, there are people in despair. There are people lost. There are people that are struggling right now. People are losing jobs or in financial problems. And it is the church, whether you agree with the spiritual or not, that are there physically, mentally, and emotionally. That's why we're essential.
That is so well said. That's perfect.
It's, I have a mic, I drop it right now, but it's on the hook.
That's great. No, it's so true. You expressed that so well.
Yeah.
Thank you. And we do have just three more minutes now of this broadcast. Pastor Alfredo Romero, I am so glad that you are in this world sharing Christ's love with people, and you do it as a pastor. It's you. It's inside of you. I sense it so strongly, and I'm so glad that you are in our Christian community showing that love.
Thank you. I've been in Chico for 26 years. Grew up in Hawaii. After college, I moved to L.A. to be a musician, and then in 1996, I moved out to Paradise. My wife's family lived there. Had a wonderful experience with the Lord in a church up in Paradise. Just really laid myself out on the floor in a church and said, Lord, I can't do this anymore by myself. I need you. And it's never been the same.
And your music is a draw for so many people. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I love when music is used the right way. And I'd like to continue to pray, if you don't mind.
Yeah, please do.
If it's okay. First of all, I would say, Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for the hope that you give us, the peace you give us, the calm you give us. Because, Lord, we know there's a lot of people out there, basically everyone, God, that just is, we're hurting right now. We're maybe a little bit frightened, Lord, but we know you don't give us a spirit of fear, that you give us faith. I know, Lord, that I'm praying for the hope that you give us, that people don't walk in despair. I thank you, Lord, that when there's so many things out there that are untrue and lies that the enemy throws at us to bring us down, that you give us truth. And Lord, I also thank you that during the midst of all these things that are happening, that it is your love that resides. It's your love that breaks through. It's your love that conquers all. So Lord, I just lift up every person that's listening right now, that no matter what you are going through, no matter what's happening in your life, no matter the trials, the tribulations, the disappointments, the hurts, the pains, that you would know that where else can you go to but to Jesus Christ? Where else can you go but to the Lord? He is the one that restores. He's the one that heals. He's the one that makes the old go away and the new comes. He's the one that makes us new creations, that old things pass, and that we have a new life in Christ, that he gives us hope, peace in the storms, calmness when our hearts are hurting. He gives us comfort when there's turmoil. And you give us hope of life beyond this earth, beyond this world, and eternity with you in heaven. And I just give you praise for that, Lord, for every person right now, that you'd comfort them. And Lord, if they don't know you, that they would run to you, Jesus, accepting, believing, and confessing that you are Lord, turning away from this world and accepting you, not just now, but forever. I just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen. Thank you for being here, Pastor Alfredo Romero.
Thank you, brother. Anytime. You know I love you, and yes. My people love you as well. And you're a good man, and I appreciate you.
I appreciate you very much.